Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we're back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. It is 13 after, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. And our special guest, as promised, is our friend Mark Allen. Mark has been with us before. Let me tell you just a little bit about him. Mark graduated Phi Beta Kappa from the University of Minnesota with a degree in theater arts and English literature. He worked as an actor and as a composer, touring the country from New York to California with a professional theater company. And later on, he decided that he'd move more in the direction of business, and he started writing. He wrote a book called Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success, which is what we're having to talk about today. I have one right in front of me. He also wrote another book that I have in front of me called A Visionary Life, 10 Principles and Practices That Can Transform Your Life and the World. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. And Mark, take a moment and tell us a little bit about how you moved from the theater to writing a book about entrepreneurs.
It was an interesting transition. Actually, the theater company I was with, after touring the whole country, ended up in San Francisco and then ended up dissolving. So I was out of a job.
So you were just on the street there in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, right. Right, and it's quite a hotbed of entrepreneurial activity. And
no question.
Yeah. So it's kind of contagious, I think.
So you just, you had nothing else, there wasn't anything else to do in the theater out there? You just decided to focus on business? Or how did you make that transition?
It was actually my 30th birthday that did it for me. I woke up in a state of shock, realizing I wasn't a kid anymore, and looking at my life, and I realized I'd been a follower all my life and not a leader. And I remembered a game I'd played years earlier, where you just imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as you could imagine, what would your life look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I did that at age 30, and that's the first time I even ever dreamed of having my own business. I said, I want to have my own business in 5 years, a successful business, and I want to write books. I had never done either one.
And were those two going to be the same thing?
Right, right. I knew I wanted to publish my own books and my friends' books.
Mm-hmm.
I, for some reason, didn't want to be in the position of going to a publisher with my manuscript in hand and saying, please publish this.
Yeah.
I had too much pride or something for that.
Mm-hmm. And so how long did it take you to get to that point?
It took me I started my business immediately, but I started very small because I knew nothing about business. I knew nothing about financing or anything. My first business plan was literally to get a job, any job, and try to save 20% to invest in my company.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year's sales were $800.
Wow.
The first 5 years were struggle, a lot of struggle, mm-hmm. until I finally learned about how to do a business plan, and I got the plan funded finally, and then I got up and running.
All right, so now you worked other jobs. I mean, you worked day jobs,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah,
and with the dream of your business always in the foreground.
Yep.
Always in your mind, and for 5 years you basically worked hard most of your day, and then planned your business the rest of the time and saved money for about 5 years till you could. Is that about what happened?
Yes, just about. I worked 2 years for other people as a typesetter, and then I made the leap. And I remember at the time it was a real scary leap to start my own typesetting business.
Hmm.
And within a few months...
What year was that?
That was... I turned 30 in 76.
Yeah.
And so that was the day... That was when I started at 76. So to
the reason I said that is, folks, those of you who've been around a while know that if the man wanted to do typesetting, that had to be... at least 20 years ago,
right?
Because there's not a whole lot of typesetting going on anymore.
That's true. It's an obsolete industry.
I knew that was back a ways.
Yeah. Yep. I came along to just put out of business all the old guys, and they were almost all old men that did hot metal type.
Now, when you decided to be a typesetter, what was your thinking? What was your thought about how to penetrate the market as a typesetter?
Well, other than acting, it was the only skill I had, and so at first I just called up typesetters and got a job working for someone else. But then on my own, I started having people come to me with a project to typeset, and I started typesetting books, mostly small self-publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started to see, gee, there's a real a possibility of setting up a business helping people do books. So I set up a company called Whatever Bookworks.
Whatever Bookworks.
Yeah. And it actually started doing very, very well, enough so that I even started thinking, gee, I could really expand this and be very successful.
To take over the world.
As a typesetter, right. And then I realized, no, that isn't what I wanted to do with my life. The goal was not to be a successful typesetter. It was to be a writer and publisher.
Mm-hmm.
So I phased out the typesetting as soon as the publishing could support me.
You know, folks, one of the reasons I wanted Mark to tell you this story, Mark has a lot more things to say, and this is a little bit off the track for where we're going to go this hour with what he a message he has. But Mark, I wanted you to tell your story because I get so many calls and email from people who want to be in business right now.
Yeah.
They want to start their small business right now. I have people email me with questions like, I want to be in the automotive parts business. I want to open up an automotive parts store. Can you tell me it's some manufacturers to call?
Right.
I swear. I promise you. I mean, they want to be in a business that they know nothing about, zero about. They don't even know who to call to buy the products from. And your story is so important. What you just said is so important because it lets people know that if you're going to be successful, is if you have absolutely no background and no money, which is basically where you were, right?
Right.
Then there are so many people out there who are small business dreamers. You've got to be patient. You've got to take your time. And we're going to let Mark tell us a little bit more about his story when we come back. And then later in the hour, we're going to be talking about something he calls your ideal scene. 888-822-8255. Give us a call if you'd like to talk to us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and here are my trivia questions. The American hostages that were held in Iran back in the late 70s, early 80s, they were in Iran for how many days? That's the answer to that trivia question. I want to know how many days they were in Iran. Also, George Burns had a wife and a partner. I would like to know her name, the great comedian. She was also a great comedian. What was her name? Also, tell me who Edwin Buzz Aldrin Jr. is. What does he do for a living? 888-822-8255. And our special guest is Mark Allen. He's the author of Visionary Business, Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. Mark, tell our audience where they can get your book.
Well, it should be in all the stores, or we do have an 800 number, too.
Okay, give that out.
1-800-97-BOOKS.
Okay.
Or 1-800-972-6657.
Right. Mark, I really appreciate you telling us your story. And as I was saying earlier, I get so many people who call me or email me or I run into them wherever, and they just want to do it all now. They don't realize that for most people, this is a long-term process. And don't worry that what you start out doing is going to be what you're going to wind up doing, because look at what you did. You start out as a typesetter when in the back of your mind you wanted to write books. Mm-hmm. But you started out in that industry, you learned some things about that industry, and you were happy doing that. You did that for 2 to 5 years or whatever. I've forgotten the length of time.
2 years for other people, 5 years on my own.
Yeah, and then you moved on, and then you realized your dream of writing books, which is what you've been doing. And from the time that you became unemployed in San Francisco to the time that you wrote your first book with your name on it, how long did that take?
It took about 5 years before I had my first book out with my name on it finally. doing the book itself, I was telling you over the break, I have people that call me in mid-October and say, I want to publish this book and I want to have it in the stores by Christmas.
In the stores by Christmas. Not even off the press, but in the stores.
Right. And they don't understand it takes a year. We're already publishing books or putting books on the schedule for the year 2000.
Right.
This year is completely booked, and we're building the spring 2000 and even fall 2000 list.
Right. One of the things that you talk about is, and I'm sure you probably learned this when you were an actor, and that is, what is poverty consciousness? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I certainly had it all my life until about my mid-30s. I grew up in a home, it was middle class, and there was always just enough,
mm-hmm.
just barely enough. My folks budgeted very carefully. We did do vacations, but there was never any extra.
Mm-hmm.
It was just enough.
No wretched excess in your house, huh?
Right, that's for sure. And then on my own, I mean, I totally struggled. And when I started my business, the first 5 years, in fact, when I was 35, I was $65,000 in credit card debt.
Wow.
And this was in about 82 or something.
That was a lot of money back then, wasn't it?
That was a lot of money. I had used most of it to finance my business.
I didn't even know you could charge $65,000 on credit cards back then.
Yeah. I mean, people kept sending me new cards.
Yeah.
And so I kept ringing up to their max to pay my minimums on my other ones.
Yeah.
And it was a real struggle.
Circle.
Yeah. Until finally, I think it took... It took five, from age 30 to 35, it took 5 years of real inner work until, I sometimes see it as a gauge, where my doubts and fears were still overwhelming my dreams of a successful business, and so I was still in poverty, I was still struggling.
Say that again.
My doubts and fears were overwhelming my desires for a successful business.
Your doubts and fears were overwhelming your desires for a successful business. I'd like for all of you folks out there who are listening, who are in that situation, you just can't seem to get things turned around. You just can't seem to be making things happen. Your doubts and your fears may be overcoming your visions of having a successful business. How did you get out of that, Mark?
Well, I did a lot of inner work. There's a great book I read over and over called As You Think by James Allen, or As the Man Thinketh is the old version.
Yeah. Stand by, Mark. I apologize. I asked you a question just before the break. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking with the author of Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success, Mark Allen. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Our special guest is our friend Mark Allen. Mark has been with us before to talk about his book, Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. Mark has allowed me to give away a couple of copies of his book today, and all you have to do in order to win a copy is to call me and correctly answer one of my trivia questions. And Mark, Chuck tells me we have a caller on the line. Chuck, who we got? We've
got Dave in Kansas City.
All right. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Jim. How
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you much.
Say hello to Mark Allen.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
That's fine.
I got into the show a little bit late. We do have our station, KCXL, does have a signal change.
Oh, yeah?
Bottom of the hour, so I can hear you better now.
Well, good. Oh, yeah, that's right. They power up a little bit, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Good for them.
I wanted to ask Mark. Well, I did want to answer one of your trivia questions.
Okay, go for it.
Gracie Allen was George Burns' partner and wife.
What a great lady, huh?
Yes, she was.
I remember her well.
Yes.
I'm old enough that I was alive and paying attention when she was was on television.
That was a great
and healthy.
Yeah, that was a great TV show.
It was, and of course, as you know, those two went back all the way back to vaudeville days, many
oh,
years
yeah.
before that. She died very young, unfortunately. But well, good. That's a good answer. And we're gonna send you a copy of Mark's book, Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success.
Sounds great.
I know you'll enjoy that. Go ahead and ask Mark your question.
I wanted to know. Now, I didn't hear that much of what you were discussing, but it sounded like you had kind of a hard time of it for a while. How'd your health hold out? Stress of things and whatnot.
Good question, Dave.
Good question. Yeah. my health has always been good, knock on wood, because even from the beginning, I tried not to be workaholic.
Yeah.
And at first, I was working 40, sometimes 50 hours a week for somebody else and doing my business on the side. So it was stressful. But I found the first business I worked for was too stressful, and I looked around to find a place where I could work with less stress. Because I think it's stress that erodes our health.
I think you're right on that.
So it's always been good, and now that my business is doing well, some people have said I'm semi-retired. I'm not at all, but I don't show up till noon or 1, and I don't show up Mondays.
Hey, listen, Mark lives on Pacific Coast. Uh-huh. You don't get up to do a show this early in the morning if you're retired.
That's true.
You got to be hardcore dedicated to do this, and
I
really appreciate it. And I know you do too, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, did you have a particular reason for asking that question?
Well,
about that.
It health can be a factor at times with trying to get a business going and off the ground.
Is there anything in your life that's that particularly would where you're concerned about this?
Well, I'm sure that a lot of people have a concern about that type of thing. And another question was about cash flow. How did you develop a cash flow?
it was certainly minimal at first. It finally wasn't until, in fact, for the first 4 years or so, I didn't pay myself anything from my company. So I was working on the outside and other jobs, and then I finally did a business plan, a good, solid business plan. And not long after I finished the plan, when I did the plan, I hadn't the faintest idea who would fund it, or if anybody would. I knew nobody that I could think of, but I just had this feeling, build it and they will come. And I did a real solid business plan that had 5-year projections of cash flow and everything. And literally a few days after I finished it, I met through a friend of a friend, an old guy named Bernie, who ended up funding the whole thing. And
we
finally had some capital to pay ourselves and to market our stuff.
At any time through your growth process, did you get involved with the SBA or any of
those? Yes, I did. Bernie, in fact, worked with the SBA. And I found out later there's some rule they're not even supposed to loan money to publishing companies because of some First Amendment thing. But Bernie had this old grandfather clause, he called it, and he lent money to anybody he wanted. But it was through the SBA. I also bought my building with the help of the SBA. I encourage everyone to check that out. If you're paying rent consistently, you can probably buy.
Seems to be worthwhile having your own building.
Yes.
You know, Dave, one of the things that Mark brings up that I think is real important, and I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but he said he did not pay himself out of the business for 4 years. A lot of people who would dream of being a small business owner aren't willing to make that kind of sacrifice.
Yeah, I know that. Right.
And whenever someone tells me they're prepared to do that, that lets me know they're really serious about being a small business owner.
Yeah.
But I also have met people, Dave and Mark, who have told me that that they didn't understand why if they had their own business, why they couldn't be more successful in their own business than they were working for somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I beg those people not to start their own business because they're not ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling. Anything else we can do for you?
Not right now, Jim. Thanks.
I appreciate you listening over KCXL. They're good folks out there. And stay tuned so Chuck can get your address and everything.
I'll do that.
Okay, Dave. Hey, Dave, don't forget, you're my hero.
Hey, thanks, Jim.
All right, buddy. I'll see you. All right, Mark Allen and I will be back in just a few minutes, folks. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our special guest is Mark Allen, the author of Visionary Business and Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. And Mark, tell us, take a minute and tell us a little bit about the architecture of your book, how it's written, the way you decided to write it, the focus of the book. You mentioned Bernie in the last segment.
Right.
I want you to tell our audience a little bit about Bernie.
Yeah, I took about 3 years to write the book. It went through several drafts, and at first it was a manual, really, for my employees. And then I saw I had something here, and I explained more and more about Bernie. He was the guy who ended up financing my company. He appeared magically, as these things tend to do, just a few days after I'd completed the business plan. We'd hired somebody to do shipping, and her boyfriend, who I hadn't even met, called me up and said, I met this guy named Bernie, and he just asked me if I knew a startup publisher who needed capital. Do you need capital? And I said, sure. And he said, do you have a business plan? I said, of course. I had just finished.
The ink's not dry on it yet.
Right. And it had taken me, it was either 6 or 9 months, I can't quite remember now, to do that plan.
Wow. You know, I'm really glad you're mentioning these time frames, because to me this is really, folks, you don't have to operate on Mark's schedule, but it just gives you an example of what it can take sometimes, and that sometimes if we force things, you know, you didn't try to force anything, Mark. That was the thing that I liked about it. You presented yourself to your idea. You got up and you expended energy on it. You made it happen, but you didn't try to force it to happen. And it sounds, you know, to me, all I could think about when you talked about Bernie appearing, this connection to Bernie appearing within a couple of days after you finishing your business plan, I mean, that's a very interesting some very interesting timing there, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure was. Sure was. He didn't appear until I was ready.
Yeah.
Until I had written the plan. But I do think you've nailed one of the most important things. When I hear this statistic that 80% of businesses fail in their first 2 years or something,
yep.
I keep thinking it's only because people give up too soon.
Right.
It's the same thing in Think and Grow Rich, where he talks about the guy who quit just a few feet from the gold.
Well, see, that's the big dilemma for entrepreneurs. When to quit? When have I gone too far? When have I gone far enough? Is, you know, if I go one more step, if I charge one more credit card, as you were talking about earlier, or, you know, if I hock, you know, one more piece of jewelry or whatever it might be, to do this, you know, you've got to believe in your dream. But the dilemma for entrepreneurs is sometimes there is a time to quit, and sometimes you do fail. But sometimes you try to make things happen sooner than they should have, and they were going to fail. There was nothing that was going to keep them from failing. And I think that's what you did, is you were very patient with yourself and with your plan, and I like that message.
Yeah.
I want to go back and talk about something, though. Tell us about something you talk about in your book called Your Ideal Scene.
Yes. That is the first key in the book. For me, it was by far the single most important thing I've ever done. And it simply is to imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as you can possibly imagine. What does your whole life look like? Not only your business, but your whole life. For me, a very important part of it was that I wasn't a workaholic about it all.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to buy into this belief that is so prevalent that in order to start your business, you've got to work 80 hours a week. It's stressful. It affects your family life. It affects your own creativity. You can't be creative with something else and have a business. I refused to believe that. And I started right from the beginning saying, I want to do it with my ideal in mind, where I don't work too hard. And I work smarter, not harder. And I have time for my family and time for myself.
But how do you accomplish all that? How do you make that happen? Because that's difficult.
Yeah. Well, that phrase, work smarter, not harder, has become like a mantra to me. I do believe our work expands to fill the time we give to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's evolved into for me is I take Mondays off for myself. I have no plans on Monday. I think that's one reason why I stay so healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Some Mondays I just relax and rest.
Right.
I do the same on Sunday, but Sunday's also family day. Monday I have totally to myself. Sometimes I'll work a lot on a Monday if I feel like it. Some days I won't
work. Because it's your day, you can do what you want to with it.
Right. I wake up, I have no plans whatsoever, except to take a sauna sometime during the day.
That's a little hard. that's a little hard to do, but it, I mean, of course, it, you know, it, for some people, especially when you're starting out, but I like the idea that you gave yourself a day and you could do whatever you wanted to with it. Now, it might be Saturday or Sunday for someone else.
Right.
Because if
right.
you run a retail business, you got to be open on Monday.
Yeah, and I couldn't do it at first at all, but it was always my goal to move into a place where I was working less hard, less stress.
Yeah. Mark, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. You're listening to the show that's dedicated to the success of small business owners and small business dreamers. Mark Allen and I will be right back. Stay with me. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our friend Mark Allen. Mark has been with us before, and we're talking about some of the thoughts that he has put into his book called Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. Folks, this is a book that I recommend to you. It's an outstanding book. It's a very good book to help you sort of center yourself, to help you to gain a little balance in your life. And you've heard me talk about this quite a bit on the show before, about, and we've had other folks on the show talking about the importance of balance, the importance of not being a workaholic, the importance of not letting your business consume you. You know, Mark, Dave called in a minute ago and said, you know, he asked about health. How did you maintain your health? And that was a very good question for Dave to ask, because a lot of people don't realize that you can literally lose in your business. If you become a workaholic, you can lose everything just as if you were an alcoholic. And I talk about that on the show sometimes, Mark. Just as if you were an alcoholic, you can lose literally everything. You can lose your family, your social life, your health, your friends.
Right.
You can lose your soul. You can lose everything if you let your business consume you. And as hard as I work in my business and you work in your business, and as hard as I tell small entrepreneurs that they've got to work hard, I also say you've got to have some balance in your life.
Yeah. In the long run, you have more time for your business if you take time for yourself, because otherwise you burn out and you get sick, or, you know, you end up working inefficiently anyway.
Dead people can't enjoy success. That's what I tell people. Dead people don't enjoy success.
Right.
Mark, I want to talk about something that you mentioned the last time you were here. It's a little thing that you say to yourself that you've learned. And when you said that on the show the last time, about a month after that, I got an email from someone who said, "Jim, what Mark said to me, what's on your show, really meant a lot to me. I've been using it, and it's really been very helpful." Would you repeat that, please?
Yeah, that was great to hear. I do think it's one of the single best things I ever learned, and it took me years to realize how good it is and how much it's helped me. And that is, I read this phrase once years ago in a book by a Unity Church minister named Catherine Ponder. She wrote a prosperity book I read in the 70s. And she had this affirmation, it's actually just part of an affirmation, where you state your own goal, and I do this every morning. I started this when I was 30, where I walk around my house and I say, "This business now reaches X amount in sales and profits in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way." Sometimes I even put on, "in its own perfect time."
I want you, now folks, what I'm proposing that you do is this affirmation that Mark just gave you, or pick another one. I've got another one that I'm going to talk about in a minute for myself. But use that affirmation, and if you find yourself getting stressed out, as we were talking about earlier, sit down or whatever you want to do, but close your eyes and sort of try to unfocus your eyes behind your eyelids and say this. Go ahead, Mark.
Say, "Whatever your goal is, whatever you dream of achieving," and then add, "in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, in its own perfect time."
In an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. Say that slowly. Say it to yourself. Say it out loud. That kind of affirmation will help you to release stress.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark, for that very much. One of the things that I do is I recite very slowly the 23rd Psalm. That is an affirmation that helps me sometimes to get rid of stress. Mark, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank you very much for being with us. As always, you did a great job. Looking forward to having you back again real soon.
Thank you, Jim. My pleasure.
All right. See you later. Folks, that's Mark Allen, the author of Visionary Business, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. I recommend you check that out. Right now, I got to go. Before I do, I want to thank the most important members of the Small Business Advocate Show, my heroes, small business owners like Dave. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.